Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The following.
Did you know that many health conditions can be fixed or helped by chiropractic? This drug-free alternative to conventional medicine can unleash your body's own healing energy. Welcome to Miracles of Chiropractic, Turning on the Power Within, featuring your host, Dr. Doran Rosenfeld. We'll discuss the many ways that chiropractic is offering an alternative or complementary treatment option to Western medicine. And you'll learn about unlocking the healing properties of your own self. Now, here is Dr. Doran Rosenfeld.
Hello, everybody. I have a guest today. My guest is Gene Golfus. He's a retired anesthesiologist. He worked at the Kaiser Hospital from 1985 until this year. And he had several special assignments, the operator, facilitator of a group to discuss enhanced recovery after surgery in the OR. He was a consultant to develop multi-specialty approach to OR procedures. So he knows a little bit about medicine, and we're going to try and discuss the similarities or the congruence between medicine and chiropractic to perhaps get everyone on the same page how you can be helped by both. So, Gene, are you there?
Yeah, Doran. Good morning.
Hello there.
Afternoon.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so do you have any ideas among your research and ideas of consulting groups how chiropractors and medical doctors can work together for optimal benefit?
Well, yes. I mean, I think the first thing, like it always is a sense of communication and cooperation. And as Einstein said, you know, peace only comes through understanding, not through force. So the first question really, I think, would be for chiropractors and other regular medicine to think about how might they work together? How do they see each other? What do they think they can offer? What do they think the problems are with each other? And can they sort those out to begin with? And then once they've done that, can they find a plan about how to work together in some kind of team fashion? And the obvious issue there is that, a way to think about it, I think, that might be useful is to shift it from talking about chiropractic for a minute, because it might be easier to see in a different light. So if we looked at it like, how does Western medicine work with Eastern medicine? You could see that Eastern medicine has some gentleness and involvement with harmony and a balance that Western medicine, you know, could use more of. On the other hand, Western medicine has some wonderfully slick imaging techniques to actually look at what is really happening in the real world. And for instance, acupuncture versus Western medicine. Acupuncture can't be explained really in terms of Western medicine, because Western medicine took real bodies and cut them apart and looked at where the nerves ran. And acupuncture is based on energy flows that don't fit with that kind of cadaver approach. So again, now going back to chiropractic, are you still hearing me, Dorian?
Yes, I'm still hearing you.
In my mind, back pain is one of the main things that chiropractic care is theoretically designed to help. Would you agree with that or not?
Absolutely. That's so what we do.
Yeah, so if that were the case, and we, you know, there's certainly some, you know, I don't know if I can say this with absolute authority, but I can certainly say that back pain is one of the most common reasons people go see a doctor of any kind.
Do you think that's very true?
Yeah. So I also think we could probably agree, so you tell me if we can or not, that most back pain is caused by mechanical issues with the ligaments and the joints and the tendons and other soft tissue issues. And it's really not from a tumor or even a disc pressing on a nerve. Most of it's mechanical. You think that's true or not?
I think that's absolutely true. But
so
people don't know that.
Yeah. So in my mind, once you enter into that area, what I think about, and here I've been talking a lot here, so in a minute, hopefully, you can educate me more about how you see chiropractic and how it works in. But my thought is, because that's the way I see back pain, and because I think, well, like if you took a chain off a bicycle and you kind of twisted it a little bit and it was kind of out of kink and you straightened it out a little bit, it would run smoother. And chiropractors are capable of doing that. And if they're helping people and it feels better and they're not hurting things, and that's where the interaction is, because, again, I think Western medicine can image it and say, no, there isn't a tumor here, there isn't a nerve injury, and it's okay to manipulate the back, then the combination of working together means in that setting, chiropractic is probably good. And if it can work and make people feel better and they don't have to have the side effects of drugs, it may be a very valuable approach.
Absolutely. I was just reading a study this morning done in October of 2004. It's published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. When doctors of chiropractic served as primary care physicians in an Illinois health maintenance organization, the results were substantially improved clinical and cost outcomes when patients were supervised by conventional physicians. So maybe if chiropractic could work with medicine more and people could go to both instead of one or the other, they could get the imaging, see what the problem is, and get it dealt with, because most patients do come into a hospital for back pain, things that unfortunately you guys don't have a lot of time to learn about in school because you're busy learning about how all the organs work.
So, yeah, I think it's, you know, again, all the things we're just talking about, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be better if we worked together. Now, I do have some questions for you immediately, and that is, you know, one of the things I've heard in the past is people talking about chiropractic treating diabetes by manipulations, and I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, chiropractors can't get rid of diabetes and things like that. Medically, problems with chemistry, although chiropractic was originally developed to treat chemical problems, but problems with body chemistry, medical doctors know more about than chiropractors, except when the problem is nerve flow causing the chemical imbalance. In that case, chiropractic can have a major effect on diabetes because people get their nerves working correctly. Their nerves, the pancreas and the liver, working correctly. And if those nerves are working correctly, the body has to function better. And that might even extend into diabetes.
So in the same sense of that kind of conversation, the issues about using things like Qigong and stretching and other things to affect energy flow and nerve flow, as long as we're not disrupting anything that bothers Western physical disruption of nerves that were actually seen on cadavers. I would think that might be a good combination.
I think it would be a fabulous combination. But how do we get medical doctors and chiropractors to accept each other's methods? That seems to be the problem that we have.
Well, you know, I think that the first thing is to be in the room together talking to each other. So in some ways, it's sort of like here you and I are talking here, and we're talking in an open forum that theoretically other doctors or chiropractors could be listening to. And it opens up at least the possibility to consider such a thing.
Absolutely. And I think it would help if chiropractors could look at people with back pain instead of just having the people with back pain or neck pain or headaches go into the hospital and get drugs that may or may not work.
I mean, again, I mean, it's like, you know, normally speaking, one would consider looking at, you know, trying to figure out what the best diagnosis of something is, and then within it, to think about what combination of therapies might help someone. So as you mentioned at the beginning, and by the way, I did, yes, practice anesthesiology, but I'm also board certified in internal medicine. And so I have that involvement with it as well. But if you talk about treating something, there are multiple options and you might use things in combination. So one of the things that you mentioned at the beginning was my being involved with encouraging the operating room to consider what's called enhanced recovery after surgery. And enhanced recovery after surgery was an idea that really came from Dr. Collette in a Scandinavian country and has spread through Europe and the United States. And what it does is it uses a multimodal, multidisciplinary approach. Well, right there, you're already talking about the same kind of idea of using chiropractic if it fits and if it helps, and help to decrease other side effects of other drugs by not using either overdose amounts or poisonous amounts. So it may not be that you want to use chiropractic and not use other medications, just that you could allow it to use less other medications or have more time in between the use of medications so that the side effects could be lessened, but at the same time increase the comfort for people.
That sounds great. Let's go to a commercial break and we'll talk about this more after the commercial.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tebaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. How is your health? Do you want to know more about it? Every day there are new technologies, procedures, and healing techniques coming forward. To understand them, tune in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. Our guests come from different backgrounds in the fields of health and healing. We'll discuss new realities and modalities, from chiropractic to metagenics. It's all designed to improve your quality of life. Speaking of Health is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Explore the power of natural healing with Howard Strauss. Join us each week for an informative program that'll help you learn effective healing methods using natural remedies. Howard's guests include top researchers, authors, and experts who will share their views on a variety of natural products and healing methods that really work. Tune in to The Power of Natural Healing with Howard Strauss, Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Miracles of Chiropractic with Dr. Doran Rosenfeld. To reach us on the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drdim@comcast.net. Now, back to Miracles of Chiropractic.
So before the break, Gene, you and I were talking about the enhanced recovery options after surgery. So why don't you tell us a little more about that?
Well, you know, it's one of an interesting issues. Forever and ever, every study that's pretty much ever been done has shown that people don't get enough pain relief after surgery. And in the early years, I introduced something that was called patient-controlled analgesia, so people could give themselves morphine and allow their own body level to allow them to know when they needed more. So the idea was that nurses did not give patients enough morphine for pain relief, and or they gave them an intramuscular shot. There was variable amounts of when it would come on and this and that, and people were well undertreated. So we, over time, encouraged people to use more morphine. Well, morphine has a lot of side effects, and not the least of which is it makes the gut not work as well. Well, it turns out that giving pain relief through other methods and less morphine, which allows the gut to work sooner, and also getting people up and walking them around, simple procedures, letting them eat sooner, using other agents in combination, you know, say Motrin or Tylenol, even using the idea that different drugs like that, like a non-steroidal like Motrin, I'm just using that as an example of a very large group of drugs that are like aspirin, but not aspirin, which affect prostaglandins and decrease pain peripherally, whereas Tylenol acts centrally by using these two kinds of drugs separately together. You can decrease the pain and decrease the morphine use, decrease the side effects, get people up, get their guts working faster so they can get out of the hospital and get away from all the dangerous things that happen in the hospital, not the least of which are dangerous bugs. So the whole thing works together, and it's one of these rare settings, really important, that in today's world where we're trying to find ways to decrease costs, this is a way to decrease costs by keeping people in the hospital less long. Why? Because they feel better sooner and they can go home better. That's good for patients and it's good for medical systems.
Okay, but I have one question. You were saying too much morphine causes gut problems. Doesn't too much ibuprofen or Motrin also cause gut problems?
It can, but in the same fashion, you don't have to use so much of it if you're using a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
I see. Okay. That sounds reasonable. And getting patients up and walking is fabulous.
It's hugely important. It's enormously important. It's so much more important than most doctors, patients, or nurses realize. I just can hardly overemphasize how simple, inexpensive, and effective getting people up and walking is.
That's true, and most people don't even realize it. When I was reading a study back when I was in school about how just walking around the living room while you're watching TV can help reduce pain.
So anyway, that's the point about, in my mind, the multidisciplinary approach is the fact that you use physical therapy and you use the nurses, you use the pharmacy, you use the surgeons, you use the anesthesiologists, you use, you know, all these things together to develop these systems. And in the same way, well, there's no reason why, as we have already talked about, why wouldn't you use chiropractic and regular medicine? What's the problem? The problem would be if they can't listen to or think about what each other are saying. So And the part there would be, you know, some acceptance of the fact that, for instance, the conversation about diabetes, where regular medical doctors could say, well, you know what, how about if we test the actual blood sugar and we'll see whether or not this really works, or maybe we'll take care of that part and you can take care of the mechanical back pain part, which, as you said, doctors don't usually have enough time to help do that. But there's a lot that chiropractors can do to actually make people feel better.
That's true. And one of the main ways that we're discovering more and more every day is the muscles that connect the body together. The muscles can produce a huge amount of pain interactions. So working directly with the muscles can often make the patient feel a lot better, a lot sooner.
Well, you know, on the point of view of muscles, I'll just comment for a minute. One of the things that I did along the way was treat pain issues. And there's a book called Myotherapy, and the basic point of view in this book is that there are muscle groups. There's a muscle puller and a muscle pusher, a flexor and an extender, that they come in pairs, and they're matched pairs for the most part throughout the body. That most pain, according to this book, is caused by muscle spasm or an imbalance of this balance between the two, and that pressure release points by having a partner who it may not be trained at all, but can just find the part to push on where it hurts for 5 seconds at the right amount of pressure, which is enough, not too much, and then let it off very slowly so the spasm doesn't spring back, and then stretch the muscles. That this can be a very low risk, low cost, non-medication, no side effects treatment that is very helpful for lots of pain.
Except it hurts, and people don't like to be hurt.
Well, it doesn't hurt, actually. If it's done correctly, and I can't really show you over the radio waves what I'm talking about, but I could demonstrate this to you in a few minutes, and you would see where you'd understand that it doesn't hurt in that sense. It hurts more in a sense of like an itch being scratched, where it feels good to have it be done. And you can feel the pain release almost immediately as it's done. And usually when that happens, what happens is there's the area that was the most sensitive, and as that's released, there's other areas around it which still hurt, but not as much. But you couldn't hear them before because of the noise of the more painful one was present. So again, in that setting, the amount of pressure needs to be enough, not too much. And that is quite variable. So in the buttocks, which is really thick muscle, you might need to put an elbow over that part and push on the fist with your other hand. Whereas the little muscles around the eye might take just light finger pressure.
That's very true. That's very true. But I've gotten in trouble sometimes for sticking my elbow in people's butts and causing them too much pain.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you're going to take care of people, you're probably going to get in trouble sometimes.
That's probably true. That's probably true. And it's important for people to realize how coordinating the muscle action can help them avoid this kind of painful treatment at a one shot from their chiropractors or doctors in terms of exercises and ergonomics and doing things correctly.
Let's talk about that for just a second. There's a thing that I used to do when I used to do injections. I used to do a lot of epidural steroid injections for nerve pain down the leg. But there was an associated thing that was kind of odd, where people would have really pain in their SI joint, their sacroiliac joint, and it was point tender. You could touch it. Now, in theory, the SI joint needs a fluoroscope in order to get at it to inject it. But I was able to use a simple blind approach that actually worked quite well for people with a little local anesthetic and started to decrease the inflammation. But the big point that I was always make to them is this is not a treatment of your problem. This is a treatment of your pain for right now. But what this is all about, what this SI joint pain is all about, is your body mechanics when you get up and get down in the way that you bend. And again, this is an area where I could imagine us working together, where an injection to take somebody's excruciating initial pain or settle it down a little bit, but then a chiropractic approach to teaching them better body mechanics and exercises to make that part of the body more limber so that it isn't strained seems like a good combination.
It seems like an ideal combination to me if we could get people to stop what they're doing long enough to listen before it's too late, before they're in such pain they have no choice but to listen.
Well, you know, what can I tell you about human nature? You know, I mean, I don't remember that long, the whole long joke about the Jewish man who goes to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem and finally a reporter asks him something about having gone there every day for 50 years and he prays for world peace and for the Jews and the Arabs to get along and such and such. And the guy says, well, and how does that make you feel? And he says, like I'm talking to a wall.
Duh. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to get people to listen before they're in pain because they say, oh, it's not really affecting me right now. Then suddenly, oh, it's affecting me, but it's so bad, I have to go take drugs or get some parts removed.
Well, that's what high blood pressure is all about, that is that people don't have symptoms. So doctors getting them to pay attention to what they need to do to take care of their high blood pressure is a standard issue. It's a standard issue about a lot of our basic healthcare issues. And really, you know, in my mind, you know, we could take care of most of the things that are going on with people if we could get them to eat well, not smoke, exercise every day, stretch, have a good time, so have more laughter. You know, that would get enough sleep. Those things would take care of most stuff.
You sound like a chiropractor talking here, not a medical doctor.
Well, that's just because you didn't think medical doctors had enough sense to talk about the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. We speak the same language, so we have to know some of the same stuff. So we went to a break right now, and after we come back from break, we can talk more about the muscles and pain interventions. Okay?
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
How many times have you heard this?
I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired.
You are what you eat.
I've tried every diet.
Diets don't work.
It's time to stop this kind of madness and start thinking and feeling empowered to change your health. Tune in to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser. Join us weekly for thought-provoking conversations with world-renowned experts in the food, medical, holistic, sports medicine, chiropractic, and naturopathic health sciences. The Raw Truth airs live every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
You read about it in health news every day.
Cancer rates are going up. Obesity in the U.S. is on the rise. Heart disease and diabetes are top killers every year.
We can follow the advice of our doctor, but cravings persist. Weight goes up and energy is still down. It doesn't have to be like this. Tune in for Body Balance Talk with your host, Jeannie Schmidt, along with Lucy and Madeline. You'll learn how you can work with your body to feel better and look better, too. Body Balance Talk airs live every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Cancer is not something to be taken lightly. But instead of being talked at by doctors, medical providers, and others, wouldn't it be nice to hear from a host who has worked at the Cancer Coalface for 38 years as a caregiver, supporter for 14,000 patients, and who has had the experience of having a life-threatening condition herself? You will hear the stories of survivors and other people who work in breakthrough cancer medicine. Navigating the Cancer Maze with host Grace Galler will help you with the facts, planning, and grief experienced with different forms and stages of cancer. Listen every Friday at 12 noon U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Miracles of Chiropractic with Dr. Doran Rosenfeld. To reach us on the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drdim@comcast.net. Now, back to Miracles of Chiropractic.
Okay, Gene, you were talking about some of the ways you can get out of pain. And you mentioned, well, like laughter, for example. It's funny, I was just talking to someone the other day, someone I'd never talked to before, who had heard about this show, and she was asking me, have you talked about laughter as a cure for pain? Because I know it works. And yeah, for some reason, laughter does seem to work to help pain.
Well, the thing I can tell you is that physicians have often been surprised by my whole comment about the fact that the only drug that blocks pain is local anesthetic. It blocks the nerve transmission and it blocks pain. So nerve blocks and local anesthetic can actually block pain, but all the other drugs modulate your perception of pain. So your perception and your attitude are a critical part of it.
Okay, if your attitude's critical, then that's when we get into your feelings about the pain and keeping yourself in a good mood, keeping yourself happy, and keeping others happy.
I mean, there's whole huge parts about all of the issues associated with that. But yeah, your feelings, your perception, and the way that you evaluate, make meaning out of the sensation. I mean, realistically, the most common reason patients come to a doctor or a chiropractor is because they have pain. So your issue about trying to, you know, treat people without pain, they don't even bother to come see you unless they have pain.
Quite often, you're right.
Yeah, most of the time. So so the issues that go beyond that about helping them think ahead and, you know, invest in their health is another issue. But pain is the trigger that makes people seek attention to an area or protect it from further injury. So pain has an enormous value. It has an enormous intrinsic value.
That's true. So blocking pain isn't necessarily always the best answer.
No. So that it has to be part of an overall picture where you realize what you're doing, you're treating other things, or you're temporizing while you're treating other things. But blocking pain is usually not solving the problem. What is the problem that's causing the pain?
A lot of different things.
Yeah. So blocking the pain is not in and of itself necessarily therapeutic. But at the same time, if you've already figured out whatever it is you need to know, you know, it's just a doorbell and you've answered the door, then, you know, being in suffering for no reason while you're waiting for other things to work is not necessarily helpful.
No, that's true. You don't want to drug the patient to the point of insensibility, but being in a lot of pain doesn't help anybody.
So, I mean, and realistically, you know, in my mind, the kind of, you know, two basic principles of medicine, and really, I don't think there's any reason why it doesn't apply to chiropractic, is that what are you trying to do? You're trying to treat pain and suffering, and you're trying to do it by first causing no harm.
True. But what happens if the harm the person's already in before the person comes to see you is irreparable? What happens in that case?
Well, that's a pretty significant question. So, you know, part of the issue is there are things where it isn't fixable. And we do all die. And basically it is an interesting issue because Americans Americans think death is optional. But, you know, I think we all basically know that you and I and everyone we've ever met are all going to die. And so at some point, if people have pain and an incurable disease, that intersection leads to all sorts of questions that include, you know, transitions about caring for people towards death. Now, and it includes issues like euthanasia and assisted suicide. And really, I think that the primary issue there is, well, you don't need euthanasia or assisted suicide if you can treat the disease and make it better. I mean, that's the first choice.
But can you always do that?
First choice is to treat the disease and make it better, so you don't need euthanasia or assisted suicide as an approach. So basically the first issue is, you know, really good evaluation of what's happening, what it means, and why, and treatment when possible. The second issue is palliation, to maximize the palliation or the care or the treatment of the pain in many ways, which we've talked about, some which don't all involve, you know, narcotics. They could involve all sorts of things. And I'm not sure how chiropractic might be used for post-surgical patients or for dying patients from metastatic cancer, but I would be willing to consider it and see how it might work. Because again, if we can decrease side effects and find ways to alleviate pain, then we don't need to put people out of their misery, so to speak.
That's very true.
Third would be, you know, palliative sedation. At some point, allowing people to go to sleep rather than endure suffering has a value. So, you know, a simple example of that might be someone who has shortness of breath, who has cancer with metastasis to their heart and lungs and can't breathe, and they need to sit up, so they can't sleep. And they can't sleep because it's so uncomfortable. And in that setting, they may need a sleeping pill to sleep. Or in a more severe setting, if the pain medications are not working well enough, they may need pain medication to escape the suffering for some period of time. in some of those settings, without it being the intent, the side effect of treating pain or using that kind of sedation combined with a severe illness could lead to someone's death without it even being intentional. And then as a fourth step might be the option of what we call, what some people might call assisted suicide, but really is probably better called, physician-assisted death, because suicide has negative connotations and implies perhaps people with mental illness or some other reason to choose their own death, whereas in this setting, one would think, again, you're talking about something where you've gone through steps 1, 2, and 3. You've done everything that is a choice, and you've got a perfectly rational person who's competent to make a decision, and it's not the same as a mentally ill person. And they may choose to make a decision like that because they think it's their best option.
That's very true. And I will just add here that you were talking about the role of chiropractic in when the patient's near death. Well, chiropractic does release endorphins in the body. So no matter what kind of chiropractic you do, in almost all cases, it produces a slight euphoric effect. So the patient is going to feel better no matter what. And that's one of the roles that chiropractic can play when a patient is near death.
Well, also, I suspect, again, this would be the issue about the opportunity to work together like we talked about, which I haven't really had the opportunity to have a chiropractic help in treating situations. But use the same example we were just using of a person who can't breathe and has to sit up in some uncomfortable position in order to try and be able to breathe at night. Well, you can imagine how then they're kind of slumping over, leaning in one fashion or another, and it's putting a lot of strain on their neck and back. And can you imagine that they might have pain the next day that's associated with their back and neck that could easily be helped by chiropractic? I can sort of imagine that.
I can too. And we can all imagine it during this commercial break, and we'll come back and talk more about this afterwards.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
By making some important changes in your life, you can move forward from where you are to where you wish to be. It is becoming the change you want to see. It can be a sort of experiment, if you will. On Moving Forward, Wellness One Step at a Time, your host, Dr. Serena Wadhwa, will introduce you to ideas that can help improve your health, relationships, and finances. You probably have at least one part of your life that needs improving. Make an appointment now to join us every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill. Kelly covers our relationship with food and teaches us how easy eating well and living well can be, taking us on a weekly food journey, guiding us to a more rich and vibrant life. So tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill.
The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Miracles of Chiropractic with Dr. Doran Rosenfeld. To reach us on the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to drdim@comcast.net. Now, back to Miracles of Chiropractic.
Yes, we're talking about how death strikes us all. And I wanted to remind everyone that medical doctors especially see death every day. But to the individual concerned, it's not a matter that applies to everyone all the time. It's them right now and only them, and no one else has ever had this experience. Well, you know and I know that's not true. So how do you deal with that when the patient does everything possible not to die?
Well, again, I think that the main issue here is, we're not going to solve all the issues about death in our society and what we should do in 10 minutes. But what I would like us to be able to come to agreement, I'm sure we can easily, is that as a society, we need to talk more about death. And basically, as you and I were talking on the break, Americans think death is optional. And we know it's not. We know that all of us are going to die. So the Tibetan Book of the Dead has some preamble that says, for a man to know about the science of his own dying is one of the most profitable things he can do in life. And we really know that death is a great teacher about life, about the importance to live while you can, and about what is important as you see people get close to the end of their life, they become much more clear about what is important. So all of that's important. And the other issue is that death is perfectly natural. And it's a part of life because everyone who's born absolutely has a terminal event coming. So how we make that transition is important. And we need to find a way to handle that like we should handle other things in our life, which is with a balance between intellectual, emotional, physical, and spiritual.
And we want to make sure to make it as painless as possible, because pain before death, or pain any time in your life, is no good.
Well, again, it is good sometimes if it helps alert you to a problem that then you can fix. But if you either get to the point where you can't fix it, or you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where those issues come. And it becomes, you know, the part where, you know, as has been said, maybe in Oregon, where they had assisted suicide, people didn't use it as much as some people expected that they might. But the answer is, it makes people feel better to know that they have an option. And again, we shouldn't use that option until we've exhausted all other options. We should be doing everything we can to treat pain and to take care of palliative procedures. And most of the time, for most people, they're never going to have to progress to something else.
That's very true. And it is important what you said, in that, yeah, there's going to be some pain there, but not necessarily overwhelming pain in all cases.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, for a lot of things, people can be treated in a way that helps them through a variety of issues, and that's what palliative care is about. And there are definitely oncologists who deal with death all the time who think, there isn't that much need really that for euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide, because in fact, most of the time, palliation is the right thing to do. However, there are definitely people like David Mueller, who's an internist from Mount Sinai in New York, who talks about treating terminal patients in their home, and he sees the lack of the ability for physician-assisted death as a gaping hole in care. And he talks, he had a 2012 essay about Charlie, who he helped to die by having him basically stop eating, starving himself to death. And, you know, most people would contend that that's not a very good way to help someone die. It's not what most people would choose, because when they're looking for that kind of help, they're really looking for a peaceful, quiet, effective way. And so, again, I think it's an area where healthcare is failing people at the moment.
Uh-huh. But people tend to hold their doctors in high regard and don't think of that as a possibility.
Well, in fact, it's even more than that, because the American Medical Association and the American College of Physicians hold that physicians should not be involved with physician-assisted death, because they're concerned about the slippery slope argument that, one, if patients see doctors as being involved with their death, then they may never trust them again to keep them alive, or that they may see this as a confusion, which that people often have with this thing called DNR, or do not resuscitate, that in some way that means do not treat. But I think in both cases, it's just an error. It's just an error in thinking and understanding, because do not resuscitate doesn't mean you don't treat someone. You can do everything you can do for them. But if they're dying from a metastatic disease that they're only going to suffer more from, then putting a tube in to breathe for them and shocking their heart to bring them back so they can endure more, how can that be the right thing to do? So I can understand why somebody in that setting would choose to be DNR, but at the same time, we can treat there whatever it is we can treat. Doesn't mean don't treat.
Yes, we can use chiropractic, we can use drugs, we can use whatever's going to make the person feel better before they die.
Absolutely. So again, in my mind, the issue is we don't even have to talk about euthanasia or physician-assisted death for somebody who we can treat in some way. We can handle their pain, we can handle their palliation, then we don't need to go to that option. But again, people feel better. They feel better just knowing that there is an option where they can say, well, if you get to the point where you can't do that, I want to know that I'm not going to have to linger and suffer. And being able to tell them that you can cover that for them makes people more comfortable. And again, I see no reason why we have to make the mistake about all these other slippery slope issues. I mean, when you drive around a corner, yeah, you could slip outside past the edge of the road, but the idea is to keep in between the lines.
That's true. And as long as the patient feels they have some control over this process, they're feeling about the medical interaction will be a lot better. And that's what we want.
So that's what we want.
Do you have anything else to say in closing?
Yeah, is that physician-assisted death in Oregon or someplace like that is subjected to rules. They have to follow rules and make sure the person had a psychological evaluation.
Yeah, the psychological evaluation. Okay. We'll end right there. Thank you very much, Gene.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us this week for Miracles of Chiropractic. Please join Dr. Doran Rosenfeld again next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon in the West, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Stay healthy, naturally.